text today comes from Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 to 17. It can be found on page 9 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "The wedding guests cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak, for the patch pulls away from the cloak, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. Otherwise, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved." This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Would you pray with me this morning? Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've made, this opportunity to come together. We are so grateful, God, that we have this place that has been preserved for us by the generations who have gone before as sacred and holy ground, as a place of encounter with you, and that your Holy Spirit, God, would invade this space this morning, that we would be surrounded by you, and that we would experience your love and your power and your presence with us in Christ's name. Amen. You know, every year the car companies come out with their new lines and their new models for the coming year. And in fact, you know, usually in the fall you start to hear about the 2019 model that's going to be coming out. But the reality is, when they come out with those new cars, they're really the same cars with a couple of minor tweaks or variations from the car that they had just been making. You know, maybe the outside has a little bit of a different feature to it, or the console, the dashboard has some different dials and controls, but basically it is the same exact car that just looks a little bit different. But every once in a while, about every 10 or 15 years, they go back and they actually come out with a new car. They go back and they redesign the car from the tires all the way up. They give it a new chassis, a new wheelbase, a new engine, a new size of an engine. They totally redesign the car. And on those years when they come out and they say, "Our new model's coming out," it really is new. It's different. Other than the fact that it's still a sedan or a minivan or whatever it is a very different vehicle. You know, today we have communion. We come to the communion table, and I will say some words that are said every time Christians gather for communion. Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken and given for you. Do this to remember me." And then he took the cup, and according to Luke and according to Paul in 1 Corinthians, he said, "This cup is the new covenant shed for you with my blood for the forgiveness of sin. All of you drink of it to remember me." This cup is the new covenant. The question is, what did Jesus mean by this being the new covenant? Does he mean that, like most years, it's simply the old covenant that's kind of spruced up a little bit, tweaked, made a little bit bitter, a little bit shinier? Or is he talking about a totally new model, a total new redesign of the relationship between God and God's precious children? That, I believe, is what Jesus meant when he said that this is a new covenant. It is something that is totally different from anything that came before. Now, when we talk about a covenant, what we're talking about is the way in which you and I relate to God, the way in which we understand who God is. A covenant is sort of a formal spelling out of a relationship that we have. Jesus is saying, in me, What is happening here is a total new deal with God, a totally new way of thinking about God, a totally new way of relating to God. The old way, the old covenant, was written down in stone on a stone tablet given to Moses, and then it was expanded upon on parchment. It was something that was written down. But this new covenant isn't something that's put down in writing. It's something that is going to be here. The prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31 anticipated this centuries before Jesus. He said, "Behold, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers, whom I took by the hand to bring them out of Egypt. I will put my new law within them, and I will write it on their hearts." The old covenant was written on stone. The new covenant is written in our hearts. You know, the old way of life, the old covenant was marked by prohibition. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. The new covenant is marked by permissive. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Christ's new way of being in the world is to expand our horizons. You know, the old covenant told us what sin was. It pointed them out very clearly and left us with a feeling of guilt. The new deal, this new covenant that Jesus brings, not only tells us what sin is, but he actually gives us the prescription for it himself. Jesus isn't just the judger of sin. He is the solution to our sin problem. And that is a new deal. A new covenant. You know, the old covenant was powered by human effort. I'm just going to try to work as hard as I can to follow all of these laws and do all the right things, and I'll become a good person, and maybe, maybe, just maybe, God will think well of me at the end of my life. The new covenant is powered by God's very Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus living within us. And rather than us having to work so hard, God invades us and gives us the desire for him that changes us from the inside out. This new covenant, this new deal that Jesus comes to bring to us is life-changing. It is something that isn't just tweaking us a little bit, trying to make us a little bit better, but it's trying to change us in the way we think about ourselves. It gives us a new identity. It tells us who we are and to whom we belong, and where we came from and where we're going to go. This new covenant is a new way of thinking about ourselves, about life, about the world around us. It reprioritizes the way we spend our time and the way we spend our money. It's a new way of being in the world that Jesus wants to give us. And when we get a taste of that's new, everything old passes away. You know, the Bible struggles to make sense of this newness that Jesus Christ has brought into the world. The Apostle Paul says, "In Christ the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." He said, "Don't be conformed in your thinking by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Become a new person." Jesus, when he was trying to struggle with it, the best he could come up with, when he talked to the man named Nicodemus, a guy who was steeped in the old way of life, he says, "If you want this new life, you have to be born again." It's like a whole new beginning, a whole new birth. It's like coming out of the womb and getting a fresh start. It's awesome. When Jesus Christ invades our heart, friend, something shifts that is profound and powerful and lasting and beautiful and wonderful. It's like we feel we are new. We are made new. And that's what Jesus wants to bring us. He doesn't want to just tweak our lives. He wants to get inside of us and change us from the inside out. He just doesn't want to pretty us up a little bit. He wants us to be restored and refreshed, a whole new model. You know, the problem is in these mainline churches like ours, a lot of people come thinking, "I'm already pretty good the way I am, and all I need is a little freshening up, a little tweaking." you know, my kids just need another program that has sort of a spiritual content to it to go along with all of the other activities they're in, and that'll make them a more well-rounded person. Or I just sort of need a place to come once in a while and unplug and think about things so I can go back to the hectic life that I live all the other, you know, the rest of the week. Jesus won't have any of that, friends. He doesn't want you the way you are, just a little bit different or better. He wants to change you. He wants to change me. He wants to give us something brand new. And I want that. And I need it because I get sucked into the old so easily. The old way of thinking, the old and the tired and the worn. This text this morning is all about that. John's, the Baptist's disciples have come to talk to Jesus, and they are observing something about the way Jesus and his disciples are that is very different from the old way of religious people being. The old way, the way of the Pharisees, was to follow all of the rules and regulations of the old law, which included annual, weekly, regular fasting, the prohibition, cutting back. So people who were religious were seen to be, you know, kind of very disciplined and very strict. And there's something very good about self-control. In fact, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? But Jesus and his disciples weren't doing that. They were out having a good time. They were living it up. They were laughing. They were enjoying life. Their lives were expansive. And the disciples of John come and say, Jesus, why are we fasting all the time and kind of feeling miserable about ourselves? And you and your disciples aren't. And Jesus says, are you kidding me? There's a party going on over here, and I'm at the center of it. This is like a wedding. In the middle of a wedding, you don't fast. You live it up. You party. How in the world could I tell these followers of mine to rein it in when I'm with them? Now the day will come when that will be appropriate, but not now. Something new is happening. And then he gives these two parables. He says, you don't take a cloak, piece of clothing that has a tear in it, and put a different piece of material on it, a new piece, because he said that new piece is going to shrink. And it's going to tear away. And instead of patching it, it's going to make it worse. He says, I haven't come to patch things up. I'm a new cloak. I'm a whole new piece of clothing. Get rid of the old thing and put on something new. And in fact, we use that imagery in the Genesis. We have been clothed in Christ. We have put on Christ. We've put on something new completely. We're not just patching up the old, but we're becoming new. And then he says this, you don't take new wine, grape juice that hasn't yet fermented, and put it into an old dry wineskin. Because when it begins to ferment, what happens? It releases gas, it begins to expand. If you have an old dried out wineskin and that gas starts to expand inside, it's just going to burst it. It's going to break it open. And you're going to lose not only the wineskin, but you're going to lose the wine. He says, no, you can't put something new and fresh and wonderful into something that's old and dried out. It doesn't fit. We need something elastic, something flexible, something expandable in order to contain that new wine. Friends, Jesus Christ is the new wine. When we come to the table this morning and we come to the cup and he says, this cup of wine is the new covenant. He's talking about himself. That old covenant that was written on stone was words. The new covenant is Jesus, the living word himself. He is the new wine. And He wants to get inside of us. And He wants us to live expansively with Him. But it means we need to be supple. We need to be elastic. We need to be open in order to receive Him in. Have you come to church to get a little bit of freshening up, a little tweak, make your life a little more manageable? Or have we come here seeking something new, really? Now, as Jenna was teaching the kids, we are a historic church. And that is a blessing. That is a blessing. Almost 300 years since this church was founded. Do you know, as far as we can determine, and it's very hard because the records are not very well kept, but as far as we can determine, we were the 74th Presbyterian church founded in the United States. Before it was the United States, it was just the colonies. Now, of those 74 churches, I'm not sure how many are still around. Let's say 50. We're probably in the top 50 of the oldest Presbyterian churches in the United States. Of now, there are over 10,000 of those churches. Friends, that's good. We're way up there. We're one of the oldest Presbyterian churches in the United States of America. It is an astonishing legacy. As Jenna said, this building is 180 years old. Think of the thousands and thousands and thousands of people, the generations who have gathered here just where you are. We're a historic church, and our past is significant. But friends, historic churches face unique challenges. How do we embrace our historic character without becoming dried up so that we are no longer able to receive the new spirit and the new life that Jesus has for us? You know, there's old, like mothball old, dusty old, cranky old. And then there's cool old. You know, cool old. Stuff that even though it's really old, is still really cool. The grandfather who's really old, but still really cool. I'm signing up on that one here in just a couple of weeks. My grandfather was cool. He told us to call him Cuz. Cuz is a cool grandfather name. He taught us how to play poker. My grandfather was cool, man. He was old, but he was cool. That's what we want to be. We want to be old and cool at APC. That's what we're striving for. That's what we mean when we're a historic church, but with a youthful spirit. A spirit that is the spirit of Jesus Christ that keeps invading this space. And so it means that we have to constantly be asking ourselves, are we doing this just because we've always done it, even though it no longer is expansive? Things that have become dried out and brittle. Or are we looking at what we do and asking ourselves, are we still doing this because it's bringing life and allowing the life of Christ to flow into us? Take something like VBS. VBS has been around. I don't know who invented VBS. When I was a little kid, there was VBS. Everyone here, VBS is old. It's an old program. It's been around. I have no idea why it was started. But a lot of VBSs feel like mothball VBS. Not APC's VBS. This VBS is cool VBS. If you've never come to VBS, bring your kids, bring your grandkids. It is the most unbelievable week. They transformed this 180-year-old sanctuary into a theater of the absurd. I mean, it is crazy, the decorations, the music, the energy, the life. People have walked in here and they wondered, what planet have I landed on? Because VBS is an old program that is expansive and cool. You know, we went to great lengths in building that new youth center to make sure that the outside looked historic. And from the road, a lot of people who haven't been here for a while wouldn't even know there was a new building there. Pat Gagnon worked with the historic people, and they preserved it, and it still looks like a storefront. Have you been in that new building? It's cool. It's old, but it's cool old. That's what we're striving for, because we want Christ's new spirit to continue to take up residence in our community. And it's really not about the buildings. It's about the way we approach God and interact with the new spirit of Jesus Christ. Today we've been doing music in worship that, maybe you've picked up on this, is old and new. Did you guys check that out? Enoch's amazing. This guy is unbelievable. He is cool. He's not old either. He's just cool, young cool. But he takes like a mighty fortress is our God and turns it into my God is mighty to save. He takes amazing grace. Grace flows down on top of me and goes back to the old traditional amazing grace. He is able to take together the old and the new and bring it together in a way that is so fresh and creative that it lifts our hearts and makes us pay attention to the words so we're not just mouthing them, but we're paying attention to what's happening. It's not easy. We don't want to be slapping on a patch. We don't want to take the new spirit of Jesus and try to fit it into something that's old and dry. And it is a constant challenge. But that's who we are. And that's who we're going to strive to be. A historic church with a youthful spirit. A fresh, old wineskin. Cool and old. Are you with me? I'm all in. God, thank you so much for this amazing place that has housed generations and generations of Christ followers, where people have encountered your living and loving spirit. God, as we come to the table this morning, God, for those people who've come here feeling dried out, feeling beaten down, feeling left out, God, I'm praying that your Holy Spirit would flow, would come. Be the new wine, God. Be that new, refreshing spirit that we all long for. Change us, God, from the inside out. Change our minds. Change our hearts. Change our way of thinking about the world, the way we look at other people. Help us to see them the way you see us and each and every one of us, God. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.